I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast. Hey everyone, what a delight to see you and to be with you in this incredible season of the year, the Easter season, when we come to remember Jesus, how he died for us and rose again from the dead. I am excited to be sharing this message with you. What did Jesus do on the cross? Of all the teachers and sages and philosophers and leaders of movements throughout history, only one died for his followers, and that's Jesus. But he didn't just die. You can't find his body in the tomb. He rose from the dead, and he's alive today. And anybody who receives him also receives the same eternal life that he has. Acts 10 verse 38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That is what Jesus' purpose coming to this earth was, to heal everybody and to set them free from the oppression of sickness and the devil and every other dark thing that's on this earth. When you find Jesus, you find freedom. So I want to talk to you about seven things that Jesus set us free from in the work of the cross. Number one, he set you and me free from sin. It's the most basic problem we all have. We're born with it. We can't escape it. There's no way around it. We can try and justify it. We can try and defend it. We can try and de-identify it as sin and call it something else. But nevertheless, that corrosive force erodes ourself and our confidence and our spirit and our soul from within unless it's dealt with. It's like a lead weight carrying us down into the negative spaces all the time. When Jesus comes in, as Charles Wesley wrote in his famous hymn, says he breaks the power of canceled sin. Incredible. When Jesus comes into your life, he breaks it. He smashes it. He wipes it out. And the power of sin that we're all born with is broken. I mean, even little children, you don't have to teach them how to do wrong or how to be selfish or how to disobey. You have to teach them the other stuff because it's just instinctive in all of us, like a bowling ball with a bias, we veer off towards one side, the dark side. But when we receive Jesus, that basic orientation, that basic bias in our life is towards God, is towards good. And that's where we veer towards because we're born again. And we can try and find all kinds of ways around sin, but the best thing to do with sin is to actually confess it to God. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who covers his sin will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find mercy. You see, in 2 Corinthians 5:19, the Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So God didn't come to judge us. He came to save us. I mean, it's not like he was trying to reconcile us with one hand and point his finger at us with the other and say, you're condemned. I reject you. He wanted to reconcile you and me to him. But the thing that we were holding on to, our sins, we've got to voluntarily say, I don't want them anymore. I confess it to God. I forsake it. And I'm getting out of that lifestyle. And then The blood of Christ, the sacrifice of Jesus, has an incredible impact on us. It washes all that wrongdoing out of our lives, justifies us before God, and makes us right enough with God to stand before Him holy, acceptable, and beyond reproach in His sight, the Bible says. The second thing that Jesus set you free from on the cross, in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, it says, His wounds have healed ours. In the New King James Version, it says, by His stripes we were healed. So healing for our physical body, our mental state, our emotions, our soul, healing flows from that cross for you and I through the death of Jesus. Numbers 28, 8 and 9 tells a story of, it's an amazing story in the wilderness with the Israelites when they all got bitten by snakes. There was a plague of snakes that came out and the poison got into all these people and they started to die. The Lord said to Moses, put a snake on a pole and let everybody look at it. And so He made a brass snake, and when they looked, they were healed. In the New Testament, Jesus refers to that story. And He says, so Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent bit anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, referring to Himself, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So God has always been a healer, and often it's mixed with forgiveness of sin. In Psalm 103, verse 3, it says, the Lord forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. So all the things that you and I have done wrong, God wants to forgive them and cleanse us from them. And if the consequences of our doing wrong has manifested in our bodies like a sickness, like a disease of some sort, that gets wiped out at the same time. But even if it isn't the result or the consequence of wrongdoing and we just got a sickness in our life, Jesus is here to heal you. He didn't come into this earth to do nothing and just to teach some nice teachings. He actually came to set you and me free from sickness. And so when He said to the man who was paralyzed on a mat, He said, the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Arise, take up your bed and go to your house. So He connected healing and forgiveness together in the same action. Number three, He set you and me free from the devil. The devil has no power over you and me after Jesus neutralized the work of the devil on the cross through His death. Colossians 2:15 says, Jesus disarmed or neutralized, took away all their power, principalities and powers, which is a biblical term for demons. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross. Paul's referring to that Roman triumphal march when a general would be bringing back conquered kings and nobles, and he'd have them shackled and shuffling behind his horses, and all the crowd would be throwing roses and trumpets would blow, and the general would display whom he had defeated as they circuited the Colosseum. That's the image. Paul is saying Jesus has defeated the devil and He completely triumphed over them. And what sounds like praise and worship to us is that sounds like defeat for the devil in his ears. And so the fourth thing that Jesus set you free from was poverty. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might enjoy richness. So this is troubling for some people because they don't want to bring the idea of finances or circumstantial blessing or success into this world. But the fact is, the devil wants to destroy people's lives and he wants to impoverish them. He wants to make them sick. He wants to keep them oppressed and down. But Jesus came to set us free from all of that. And that includes the world of finances and the world of you being able to do well in life. And this scripture says he became poor that we might enjoy the blessing of God on our life. Some people have said, oh, that means spiritual poverty, trying to say that he's only here for our spiritual blessing. But my Lord, that would be challenging to accept that Jesus was spiritually poor, that he was somehow a spiritually weak person or a spiritually impoverished person. No, it actually means he died without owning a thing. He took that curse of poverty on himself so that his people who receive him could be set free by the power of God. The fifth thing that Jesus set you and me free from was the curse. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took on himself the curse. So there's a huge list of curses. In Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, it is just horrendous the number of things that come when you're separated from God and you come under the dominion of this world, the amount of curses that are placed upon us. But then some people have had negative things said about them, sometimes even literal demonic curses put on them. Well, let me tell you today, Jesus died to set you free. And when you receive Christ, every curse is broken over your life, over your family's life, over your children's life, right through your generations. No more curses can exist when Christ and his blood have been received into your life. Number six, he sets us free from ourself. Now that's a reasonable solution to a very big problem that all of us have. I mean, the person who causes us the most problems in our life is sitting in our seat today. It's us. And if we could just find a way to actually be renewed, be someone else, be different. So Jesus sets us free from that old nature. There's the horrible tortures that the Romans used way back in those times. And so this has a distant reference to that, where if a murderer was caught and the victim was also discovered close by, they would chain the dead body to the living as part of a very slow, torturous death. And the corruption and the diseases that plagued the body on their back would eat into their healthy flesh, and eventually they would die too. And that's why Paul says, put off the old nature. Put off that old nature and let the self of us go. Let that selfishness die. And Jesus, he actually helped us with this when it says in Romans 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified, talking about our old nature, it was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, to that old nature that just wants to do the wrong thing. We're set free from that slavery because through the cross, Jesus has crucified that old self. And baptism, water baptism is a picture of that. We go down as the old life and we come up as the new. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. You should speak that over yourself when you find you're doing things that you really don't want to do. And you think, I have been crucified with Christ. Set your heart and your will towards Christ and deny that old nature and say, I've been crucified with Jesus. That's one of the great victories that he has won for us. Amen. And then the seventh point that Jesus set us free from was the world. All through the scripture, it is amazing how much the people of God have been separate from the world. When all the plagues were coming on Egypt, remember that? Flies, frogs, darkness, and then the death of the firstborn. It happened all over Egypt, but where the Israelites lived, in Goshen, it didn't come anywhere near there. There was light in Goshen when it was dark everywhere else. When they put the blood of the lamb over the doorpost, even though death went through Egypt on all the firstborn, every house in Goshen that had that sacrifice on it, they were avoided. They escaped. And so whatever's coming on the world around us, you and I do not have to partake. Jesus has set us free from it. It says in Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. In Colossians 1:13, it says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the Son of his love. So remember, all these examples throughout Scripture, I mean, Noah in the ark, the world was drowning in a flood, but God had provided him with a plan as to how to live separate from that in the ark. Elijah, when there was a drought in Israel, he was well looked after at the brook Cherith. I mean, all through Scripture, you will find that God's people, the house of God, there may be plagues all around us, but it does not need to come near us. Psalm 91, verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Amen. Well, that's the amazing death of Jesus, the sacrifice, the crucifixion, and the work of the cross. But then, that was Friday. Then came Sunday, the resurrection. And Acts 2 verse 26 says, no wonder my heart is glad and my tongue shouts his praises. My body rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. Acts 2:28, you have shown me the way of life and you will fill me with the joy of your presence. That's what Jesus was saying when he went into hell. But then 3 days later, he was risen from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he defeated death. Death has no more power over anybody who receives Christ. When we die, our body might stop functioning, but it'll be like just taking off an old overcoat and walking into eternal life. John 11, verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he will live. So the resurrection, friends, is about having hope in a hopeless situation. When Jesus died, no amount of positive thinking, no amount of anything was going to get him out of that tomb, out of death. It was only when he died, he said, into your hands I commit my spirit. He says, my flesh will rest in hope, not in negativity. I'm going to die knowing that you are going to raise me from the dead. Beyond anything I can do, I'm helpless, but not hopeless. And when we receive Christ, the best predictor that you're going to make it through whatever you face is that you've got Jesus on the inside of you, because he made it out of the grave. He made it out of death and hell into the resurrection, right into the throne of God. At the right hand, he is seated there. So this season, we're remembering Jesus and we're thanking him for all the amazing things that he has done. There are over 200 names for Jesus in the Bible. I want to give you just a few here today. Jesus Christ is known as the Almighty God. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the apostle of our profession. He is the author of eternal salvation. He is the beginning of the creation of God. He is the beloved Son. He is the branch. He is the bread of life. He is the captain of our salvation. He is the chief shepherd. He is the Christ of God. He is the consolation of Israel. He is the cornerstone. He is the counselor. He is the creator. He is the dayspring. He is the deliverer, the desire of nations, the door, the everlasting Father, the faithful witness, the first and the last, the glory of God, the good shepherd, the great high priest, the head of the church, heir of all things, the Holy One of God. He is the great I Am. He is the image of God. He is Emmanuel. He is the judge of Israel. He is the King of the ages. He is the King of the Jews. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is the Lord of all. He is the Lord of glory. He is the man of sorrows, the mediator, the messenger of the covenant. He is the Messiah, the mighty God, the morning star, the only begotten Son, the Passover lamb, the Prince of life, the Prince of peace. He is your Redeemer. He is the resurrection and the life, the rock, the root of David, the rose of Sharon, the Savior, the shepherd and bishop of your soul. He is the Son of David, the Son of God, the Son of the Highest, the true light, the true vine, the way, the truth, and the life, the witness, and He is the Word of God. That's our Jesus, friends, and I want us to worship Him and praise Him in this magnificent Easter season. God bless you. Hey, thanks so much for joining us today. Check out more content on the C3 Church Global Instagram and YouTube page. C3 is a movement of many hundreds of churches around the world, Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and connect-driven. So wherever you are around the world, I encourage you to find a C3 church near you. See you again soon.